quickly, would you go with me to Ephesians chapter number 1, Ephesians chapter number 1, verses 2 through 14. How many's got a Bible? Wave it at me, please. And if you do not have a Bible, will you do me a favor? Go on your iPhone to your Bible app, because it's desperate that you follow the scripture if you're going to get the full impact of the message. If you're online, please, where you're at, get your Bible out and follow the message this morning. I've got a great truth. It's going to help you, but it is not lightweight. This is not going to be lightweight preaching this morning. It's going to be heavy duty stuff, okay? So because I'm preaching heavy duty, I want you to really focus on what I'm preaching this morning. And I'm excited to be here. I had a great week last week. I preached Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday. Had a full week, counseled all week. And now this week, I've got a meeting in Winston tomorrow. Then I travel all the way to Lenore. I've got wedding rehearsal Wednesday, as Tuesday, and Wednesday a wedding rehearsal, preach on Wednesday night with Brother Josh Gerwitz, do a wedding on Thursday, get back. I got two counseling sessions on Friday and Saturday. So your pastor's busy. Then I'm going to turn around on Monday and be in a tent meeting. I'll be the keynote preacher on Monday and Tuesday over on Quarter Old G. So really, as a 27-year-old young man like me, I think that's not much to do. Amen. I am excited about God's work, Lois. I've never been so excited. Amen. And I feel so blessed. Now, I'm going to read one verse, but I'm going to use all of these because it wants to go along with that song. But look at verse number 2 and 3. I'll actually read 2, and then I'm going to give you the thought. And you must follow me all the way down through these 14 verses. When I get to one point, I'll read those verses, then I'll go all the way down through and explain them all to you as well as possible. Bible said, grace be unto you. I'm glad grace has been bestowed upon me. I've been favored by grace. Somebody say amen. And peace. I've got peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This goes along with your song. You were talking a lot about physical blessings. Let me go on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, listen, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I want to give you three facts. I want everyone to listen carefully. Three facts. Listen to me. Number one, God can save you. Fact number one. Fact number two, you can be saved. And fact number two is you can know that you're saved. Fact number three, you can be saved and know you're saved, and then be assured that you can't lose your salvation. Somebody ought to say amen. If you're online, please share this. See, I don't hope I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. I am going to try to illustrate this passage with an Old Testament scripture that you folks, some of you, use in your weddings. The Bible said in Ecclesiastes 4:12, a threefold cord, are y'all with me, is not easily broken. Today, I'm not, and when we apply to marriage, we're talking about the husband, the wife, and God being that threefold cord. But I am not handling that this way this morning. I'm going to be strictly scriptural, and I'm going to tell you this. I am talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those three cords, who are one, ensures you of your salvation. If you You Bible students, I want you to know, actually, verses 2 through 14 is one sentence. The longest sentence in the Bible, Chad, is found in verses 2 through 14. It begins with grace, and it ends with glory. It is the most complete statement of the gospel in the whole Bible. Let me say it again. It's the most complete statement of the gospel in the whole Bible. And then in verse 6, verse 12, and verse 14, it's actually, OSU songwriters, it's a hymn. In verse 6, Paul speaks of God the Father. We need to praise the Father. In verse 12, he speaks about God the Son. We need to praise the Son. In verse 14, he talks about the Holy Spirit. We need to praise the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. It's a hymn. It's the greatest hymn. Praise God to the Father. Praise God to the Son. And praise God to the Holy Spirit. And it is because of that you can be assured of your salvation. You can be confident this morning. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to have second guesses. You can be fully, fully, fully sure you're saved. Now stay with me. I must preach quickly. First chord. I'm going to show them to you individually. Look with me. First chord. It is a golden chord. That speaks of sovereignty. That speaks of the Father. Now, it may be possible for me to break this one chord. I don't think so, but it's possible. But the first chord, and I want you to write this down in your thought pattern. I'm telling you, this is not going to be shallow this morning. The first chord is our salvation. Write this down in your thought pattern. Has been planned by the Father. You know why you can be assured that you're saved and going to heaven and can't go to hell? Is because before you were born, and before he hung the sun, the moon, and the stars, he planned your salvation. Amen. Look at verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So when did he choose us? When? Before the foundation of the world. He loved us and chose us, and God was not content on being alone. Amen. So he planned a plan. You say, well, wait a minute, you're sounding like a Calvinist. I'm the farthest thing from it. Amen. You don't have to be a Calvinist to believe this truth. See, he chose us in him. Every one of you that are in him, and you get in him by getting saved, thank you, Lord. You are God's elect. And that process started before the foundation of the world. Verse 5 says we are predestinated. Don't you be confused. God didn't do this. God didn't say, Sean, I love you. Lois, I don't love you. Amen. Lois, you're going to hell and he's going to heaven. You have no choice. That's not God. Amen. Somebody help me preach. That's not God. What kind of love would that be? See, let me tell you this. God does not choose one and let another go to hell. My Bible says this. My little children, I have you not sinned. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sin, but not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Somebody help me. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, who will have all men to be saved. The Bible said in 2 Peter 3, 9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. The Bible said if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says he is the true light which lighteth the whole world. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that hears say, come. And let whosoever will come and take of the water of life freely. Now, I want y'all to listen to this statement. I'll slow down to give it to you. Careful, listen. The death of Jesus is sufficient for all. Y'all hear it? But it is only efficient to those that believe. It's sufficient for everybody in this room. But the condition is you must believe it. Then why did he choose us? Verse number 4. Greatest miracle is not him walking on the water or turning water into wine. The greatest miracle is taking an old sinner like you and transforming your life and saving you and delivering you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's the greatest miracle. Thank you, Lord. See, when he looks at us now, according to verse 4, we're holy and without blame in love. Amen. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. It's Christ that died. Amen. Wherefore he chose us in verse 5. Then we're predestined in verse 5 to the adoption of sons. Listen to me carefully. When you're born in the family, that's your position. But you know what God does? The moment you're trusting, you're born. The moment you trust him, he adopts you in the family. Being born in the family is your position. Being adopted in your family is your privileges. And I want you to know, we're rich people. We're wonderfully rich this morning. Woo! Then the Bible said in verse number 6, look at it, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing acceptable about you. There is nothing. You are a wretch. You are unrighteous. You were without hope, but you were reconciled by God, by the death of his son. And we're accepted. Right now, I'm accepted, not on my lines, but because of Jesus. I have people all the time come to me, and they're sincere, they're troubled. Lois, I have my counseling all the time, and they're still dealing with guilt. And I try to persuade them not to do that. And here's what they're dealing with. They're saved. But what they have not realized is this. All those sins they committed that they feel like is skeletons in their closet is still haunting them. Look at me. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll tell you why. My sins, amen, They're all gone. Amen. They're under the blood of Calvary. Amen. If you ever get in your mind that God has forgiven you for all your sins, past, present, and future, you will be a happy person. But because you dredge up your past, and because you dredge up your failures, and because you look at that, you know what you're doing? You're ignoring what God the Father, the great sovereign God, done for you. God forbid that you drag up your past when he's put your past into a sea of forgetfulness. Cord number two, I must move. This is cord number one, kids. That's sovereignty. This is cord number two. Look at it. That's redemption. That's not the work of the Father, but the work of the Son that has been purchased by God the Son. And that's found in verses 7 through 12 and verse 14. We were slaves. Somebody say amen. By the way, Adam sold his birthright out, and we are children of the devil when we're born. But let me give you four or five facts about the cleansing work of Jesus. How many of y'all really realize what you got? Number one, look at verse 7, in whom we have redemption. Number one, we are freed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. I was so shackled in sin, but as Christian sings, he touched me. And I want you to know, when you are touched with the blood of Jesus Christ, those fetters, those chains, that bondage of drugs, that bondage of pornography, that bondage of alcohol, that bondage of tobacco, that bondage of pornography, all of it is broken loose, and you are set free.
Amen. Amen. Praise his name.
Somebody ought to be shouting.
Amen.
I was in bondage, but I'm free. Number two, verse 7, we are also forgiven by his grace. Let me get a little personal with you. How many of you ever done anything wrong, even since you're saved? I have. Seems like half of you is lily white. Forgiveness is a wonderful thing. Let me say it again. Psychiatrists say this. The number one problem in America and why they make so much money is that people come to them trying to get their guilt taken away. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one way to get your guilt taken away, and that is to be washed in his blood and to be redeemed by his blood. And he'll forgive you of all your sins. I'm skipping out a lot, but I want to give you this. In verses 8 and 9, look at it. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Number three, we're filled with his wisdom. See, God fills us with the wisdom of God. He gives us a new mind to know him, a new heart to love him, and a new will to obey him. That's all when you get saved by the grace of God. Somebody preach with me. And then verse 11 and 12, we're fixed with wealth. Woo, in whom also we obtained an inheritance, being predestinated or predetermined according to the purpose of him who worketh in all things after the counsel of his will. Ladies and gentlemen, look at me. You're wealthy. You said, I'm poor. No. You just think you're poor. You got everything he has. He's your elder brother, and you're joined there with him. Why you go around with your lip dragging the ground, thinking the only wealth you got is your house or a car or this or that? That is just a temporary wealth. Ladies and gentlemen, I am eternally wealthy. One day I'm going to heaven. I have an inheritance. I got a mansion. Not like the NIV. I don't have a room. I got a mansion. Somebody help me preach. I got a place. There is a city. I'm going to dwell there one day. You're going to dwell there one day. This is just a short life, but that's an eternal life. Glory to God. We're rich because of the purchasing power of the blood. Y'all with me? I'm rushing. Normally, look here. Third chord, kids. White. Why are you using white for the Holy Ghost? Well, makes sense. When he came down upon Jesus, he came down in the form as a dove. White. Number three, our salvation, get this. I don't care if you was raised in a Church of God, a Methodist, a Lutheran, a Nazarene. I don't care where you were born or raised. I want you to know, I'm going to give you a profound truth. The God that planned your salvation and purchased your salvation will preserve your salvation. Look at verse 13 and 14. Now, I got to give you, I'm closing. I may be 3 or 4 minutes over. Don't get shook. Let me give you the order of salvation. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, or Holy Spirit of promise. Chad, let's don't get that backwards. Our Calvinist buddy says the last part is first. That's wrong. Amen. This is the actual order of salvation. Right. You hear, you trust, you believe, Amen. And then you get the Holy Spirit. They say you have to get the Holy Spirit. They say, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life, that you got to be born again first before you can even place faith. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't be born again until you do place faith. Amen. Then verse 13, 14, he talks about an earnest. You know what an earnest is? How many of y'all know what an earnest is? It's like you go to the bank and you put a down payment. You want God done for you. Do you know what God done for you? Do a sure, dear God, I'm about to get happy. Do you know what God done for you? He put earnest money in the bank. Amen. Thank God. And you are sealed.
Amen.
To the day of redemption.
Amen.
So what that earnest money from God says, Sean, don't worry. You may have trials. You may be brokenhearted. You may be up and down and your life ripped. But I want to assure you something. You're preserved.
Amen.
And I gave a down payment. And you might happen to have a foreclosure. But God ain't going to have no foreclosure.
Amen.
He's going to finish what he started.
Amen.
He that had begun a good work with you will perform it under the day of Christ. Amen. Am I preaching? Now, I'm closing. Lois, move with you for me. Yeah, I'm done, I think. By the way, I'm not giving you all this, okay? This seal cannot be reversed. This seal is a transaction between God and you, and it cannot be reversed. Look what we started with. Ladies and gentlemen, look what we started with. Three individual ropes. The Father, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Spirit. But that's not what we end up with. Here's what we end up with. Kids, look at this. This might make you teenagers shout. Now look what we end up with. We got God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, they're a threefold cord. It's unbreakable. It's irreversible. Your salvation cannot change. You may feel bad sometimes. You may sin sometimes. You may act funny sometimes. But nothing can break the threefold cord of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. If you're a sinner here this morning, why trust in religion? Why trust in some people preaching some gospel that does not include Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost? Why preach a gospel that does not save you forever? This is the real gospel. A threefold cord cannot be broken. Amen. I say to you, on the authority of God's word, if you, as a sinner boy, sinner man, sinner young lady, or sinner lady, if you trust the work of God, God will save you. Amen. And it'll be unbroken. It'll be unbroken. Oh, glory. That ought to make everybody shout.
Makes me shout.
I ain't never heard you shout.
Well, I'm thinking it real hard.
You're thinking. You shouting on the inside. How many shouting on the inside? Kids, you know you're going to college, aren't you? You're going to face every devil in the world. Now, I just want you to know that. And they're going to teach you in college that your type of religion is outdated. But I want you to tell them, no, no. It was planned by the Father. It was purchased by the Son. And it's preserved by the Holy Spirit. And ain't nothing can change it. And you might as well get your liberal, pinko, woke self away from me. Somebody help me pray. You said you're wide open. You know how wide open I am. I was up 3:30 in the morning praying about this. But here's what bothers me. I know I'm a couple minutes. Please don't worry about the time. Here's what's bothering me. This is the only thing bothering me this morning. God went to all the trouble to plan your salvation, purchase your salvation, and preserve your salvation. And you sit back there and say, not for me. Not for me. And I say, why not for you?
Amen.
He purchased your salvation.
Yes.
But it will not be efficient until you trust him personally. With heads bowed and eyes closed, please, if you have to move, don't make noise. How many in this room, look, and I want you to take time. How many in this room know for sure you're saved because you trusted Christ? Raise your hand. Hold them high. But if you don't know, don't raise them. Please don't. Thank you. How many in this room not sure you're saved? Say, Pastor, man, that you made it clean this morning, clear. But I'm not saved. But before I die, before the Lord comes, I want to know I'm going to heaven. And I'd like for you to pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Just slip it high. God bless that hand. Somebody else. Just slip it up. If you're not sure, maybe you made a profession when you was a kid, but you don't remember it, and it wasn't real. But you want to make it real this morning. Slip up your hand. Just say, pray for me. I want to have real salvation. Preacher, I doubt my salvation. I'm not really sure where I'm saved. I don't care if you're a church member or not. If you're not really sure, you say, why don't you slip up your hand? Nobody's looking but me. They just say, pray for me. I really am hurting. I'm searching. And I want God. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to slip out of your seat. I'm going to pray, and I want you to slip out of your seat. Come up here, and we'll get an altar worker, and we'll work with you, and you can be saved this morning. Stand with me. Our Father, thank you for your blessings. Lord, I pray right now this magnificent truth that's been preached, not because of me, but given from you. I pray somebody respond. Maybe there'll be some Christians that are beating themselves up because of the past. They're saved, but they're beating themselves up, and they've never forgiven themselves. And they're hurting this morning. And I pray they'll come and just realize that what you've done is irrevocable, cannot be broken, and that they're still a child of God, even in the midst of their failures. God, do a work this morning in Jesus' name.